Hey guys, welcome back to the Law of Attraction Secrets podcast. I'm your host, Natasha Graziano. Today, we have an awesome bitch. I love this girl. She is on fire. She is so fun. She is so cool. Y'all know her from Teen Mom. She's like the ultimate original star from Teen Mom, turned going into Congress and politics and government. And oh my God, what a transformation. Today, you're going to see from this badass female, this entrepreneur who I absolutely love and adore. Welcome to the show, Farah Abraham.
Thank you for having me. And let's all be badasses,
yeah! Okay? We love that. So yes. Good. Okay, wait.
There's been a lot going on in my life. It's like, is this Farah 10.5? Like, which generation?
Where are we? Right.
Like 16 and pregnant, teen mom OG. Secrets of Celebrity Sex Tapes last year, and now we're on to new TV shows, new films, but also a whole new layer that I don't think anyone knew about me. I love city council. I am going for a city council seat, mayor after that, and hopefully like federal government positions, like Congresswoman Farah. She's coming. She's arriving.
We love that. I feel like we do need a little bit more of that entertainment in that, because I feel like you'll have such a badass angle to bring to that vibe.
I hope.
Yes, we love that, girl. Yes. Okay, there's so much to talk about. First of all, you were on Teen Mom. For those of you that don't know it, it's a TV show about, obviously, teen moms.
Yes.
But you really blew up from it. Like, you really, like, you know, I asked you a minute ago, like, off the show, how do you make your money? In fact, let's just go there. How do you make your money?
I make my money by being my best self.
By being Farah Abraham.
By being Farah Abraham. And I do say it like by being my best self, because most people are like, how do I make money like you? How do I become like you? What can I improve? And I always say it's by being your best self. Many of you may have seen, like, I went to a trauma center and I became more of my best self with 12-step principles. So I highly suggest everyone look into 12-step principles and don't just use it for addictions, but use it for finance, use it for relationships, use it for business, and you will always be your best and make money and not worry.
Dang, girl, we love this. Mm-hmm. So do you have multiple streams of income?
Always. So I've always had like a celebrity license. So a celebrity license, I usually like pitch them. So if you're used to like Shark Tank and you pitch yourself and you pitch whatever. So I did one of my $1 million, like always makes me money, licenses is novelty toys, because they're intimate items, intimate products, made so much money that it made the manufacturer sell to China, and China sold multiple times after that. And so you can really be lucrative when you align yourself and pitch yourself with the right manufacturing companies and businesses. And I did so well that they started copying me, and then they had to pay me out to move on. So I think alignment is really key. What are you so close with? Like, what do you use every day? What do your friends talk about? And really align with that. And I'm excited because I'm excited for new licenses. And then I also, you know, wrote books, became a New York Times bestselling author. That was not paid for. That was not marketed. That was just real, organic. Truly, people read my book. And now I'm like, oh my God, I need to get into the audiobook game and all these other new things. So hopefully a new book will be coming. But I always say royalties. So I usually am making money off of my books, music, IP, entertainment. I'm very big into the power of the pen. Whatever you write, you can create and you can make money with.
Babe, I have a whole thing, a TED talk on this called scripting. You write down your goal in the past tense as though it's already yours. You write down all your desires as though you've already achieved them.
Here you go.
And you bring them into fruition.
Yes. I always say power of the pen from like a psychiatrist who was working with me. But yes, scripting, manifesting. But I do the work. I do the alignment. And I think some people just want things handed to them, or they want to be opportunists. Mm-hmm. And I'm not really like that opportunist. I'm really just like, I'm genuinely working, aligning. I'm a win-win for whatever. Even if someone hates me, like on my show, I kept getting fired from politics or hatefulness, but I still kept showing up and I still kept making them money. And I think you just have to be like, who's ever is in the room that wants to make it and is going to do it with me, we're going to go.
Question. When did you realize that being misunderstood makes you more powerful?
I knew that I don't need to control other people. Self-deception is a really awful trait to have. And the majority of this world uses self-deception. They think, oh, Farrah's stupid. She doesn't know what she's talking about. She's not equipped. She's not ready. But I know who I am, and I don't own anything else that people put on my identity. So if you live in self-deception, watch out, because you're really going to be wrong about jobs, work, who you marry, who you're around, your friends, and mm-hmm. other people's success.
Okay. The internet loves to talk about you. The internet loves to talk about you. You're mm-hmm. like a superstar. You're, yeah. But they have a lot of stuff that they like to write on you.
Yeah.
Question. What's the biggest lie that the internet mm-hmm. says that is completely not true? Like, God. Oh, she's 60 years old, or she's, which you're obviously not, or she's like, you know, have three other kids, or like, oh, you know what I mean?
God, I mean, who even knows these crazy lies? But I always love, like, in the comments when people are also like, oh, I saw your daughter in this car today and she wasn't in it. Or I like when, you know, I loved what back in the day, I feel like me being on covers of magazines and like that, I almost felt it was abusive to be on covers of magazines, because they're like, she just wants to give her she just wants to give her child up. Mm-mm. I think that's probably like the biggest
crazy
antagonizing lie. And I think as a mom who's been mom shamed and mom guilted so much, like that's the one thing you don't mess with me is talking about me and my mother, like me as a mom and my view of my own child. And I think a lot of people now that my daughter is 16, going to be 17, they always like to act like Sophia's view of me is skewed. We actually are very close and will always be close. So yeah, I think just the woman hate in press, media, and lies, that is really all hatred. And I hope one day press and media doesn't come from bullying, but it comes from like spreading truth.
Girl, you're so inspiring. Like the way that you, and I love that because I'm a mom. Mm-hmm. So in my motherhood, don't fuck with me with that yeah, topic. Like yeah. that's the thing where I love my babies.
Yes.
Two baby daddies down. Like, I don't give a fuck.
Ride or die, let's go.
Literally, don't give a fuck. Like, I will, you know, and I'll have another. And you'll yes. be my last one, I yes. hope. Yes. Like, yes. I don't care about any of the mom shame. I'm, no. like, over it. Mm. I also have my child young. My first one, like, I, not teen mom, because that oh, yeah. seems like, you yeah. know, so yeah. much younger. But I don't think there's any shame in it. If no. you can create and be an amazing woman in today's world and be an amazing mother.
Yes.
What is the shame in it?
There's no shame.
I'm like, oh, you know, oh, you travel so much. You leave your kids. My children have an amazing yes. life because yes. I'm on the road yes. doing stuff.
Yes.
Because, and then I find the time for my babies.
Yes.
So I decided that
yep.
quality time is better than quantity time.
That's right. Everything's very mindful and intentional in my life. And I highly suggest everyone kind of live by that.
Right. Yeah. Right. And you have only one?
Yes, I only have one.
But you have more?
I get asked this question all the time if I would have more. And I think, you know, I've learned myself, which was a superpower, which is like, hey, I have ADD and an attention disorder. And I think one at a time is all I can do, to be right. honest. So for the moms out there, you know, if you know your ADA compliant disability is kind of plan your motherhood by that. Mm-hmm. Because I just think I couldn't do more than one at a time.
Right.
Like I really, when I say I'm in things to win things, like I'm going to make sure something's successful, like, and I'm going hard and I'm going all the way and no one's getting in my way. And I, you know, I lost Sophia's father when I was 8 months pregnant with her. And I think I committed to putting her number one and I committed to making sure that that was a success. And I just had everybody else being like, adopt, get rid of your kid, or all of these things. And I think all those pressures by older mm-hmm. people and generations, I just kind of, I am so done with that. It's like in the trash. And I just keep creating a new Farrah Abraham. And I keep creating like a new whatever Sophia wants to be. So yeah, if you get the luxury of spreading out your children, do that if you can. But you know what? If I met the love of my life, or if I met someone who I knew, you know, had my back, ride or die, then cool, because that's what I had with her father. And I really haven't met a man like that after, but it's probably because, I mean, look, my dad tells me the honest to God truth. My dad's like, when men look at you, they don't know what to do with you. Like if they start learning me and figuring out like I'm never the same, mm-hmm. they really just... I think men really like women who have patterns and they learn their patterns and they can control their patterns. And I deal with men all the time, like on my 18 and up, you know, websites and profiles. And I kind of see how that goes. So I know what kind of relationship I want. I know what kind of family I want to build. And if I don't see a man that's for that, then I just really don't believe in wasting his time or mine anymore. It's just really hard.
So interesting, because what you're really talking about there is like the way that men like predictability. And then there's the unpredictable version of a woman. There and is. That is what we call an enigma. A woman.
People call me that all the time.
There we go. If they say to you, you are an enigma. Yeah, you're enigmatic. I don't know what you're going to do next. Yeah. I can't predict it. And I am the same. Good. I never want to be the predictable one that you think I was going to do the same thing. No.
Yeah.
No. She's enigmatic, honey. It keeps you on your toes, keeps you like, but that is what makes a star.
Yes.
That is what makes an inspirational woman. That's what makes a woman who is different and somebody who's doing something great in their life. Yes. I want to go back to something you just said.
And I hope I find an enigma of a man. So like,
wow.
let's just put it out there. Like what I am, I want to find, you know, a companion like.
I literally would never want to be with an enigma. The opposite. Really? I'll tell you why.
Why.
No fucking way. I need predictability. I need to know that you are like, I don't want to be thrown off. I need a man to be like with me and not making me fucking nervous of his unpredictable behavior like I do, but not out of commitment problems.
Yeah. So not out of commitment. So that's one thing. I am very loyal, but I will not control you. There's a fine line. And I also feel like, you know, women, you can create men to be like fucking serial killers if you don't choose and grow your relationship wisely. You know, thus, you know, girlfriends and wife murders are escalating. But I just feel like you got to be super busy too. You got to elevate your own world. You got to be the king. I got to be the queen. And I will see you in the city. I will see you in the country and I will meet you. Because I'm intentional and I'm mindful. So you don't ever need to worry about my loyalty as I shouldn't for anyone else. And I have tended to date like men out of the country, out of the city that I'm in, out of the state that I am in. And I think some women meet me and they are so anxiety ridden. They've been cheated on, or they choose males who are just going to cheat. Just like men can choose women who are going to cheat. I don't want to be sexist here. So just know it's who you pick. It's if they're intentional and it's if they're mindful. And if you're still in that place of dating where you want to play the field, play the games, play it, go for it. But I'm out.
I believe that. And I can see that in your nature. But also, who wants to stay in that energy of cheating and playing the field
I don't.
And being outside? Like, how old are you? 12? Like, grow the fuck up.
I like peace.
Yes, I choose peace over chaos. I choose my soft girl era. I choose my queen energy. I want to be in a bath. I want to be relaxing every night, not worrying about your ass out in the club. I need to be focused. I need to be driven because my purpose is so big in the world like yours. We have to be out there serving the people and doing great things, not worrying about what some loser is doing behind the scenes.
Yeah, I like serving the people. I like giving to people. I like helping community. And I think wonderful mothers, like if you're out there and you're listening to this, like this is that moment to step up. And I just hope by even like running for city council or sharing like going for mayor or going for Congress, that it helps include everyone to know like, you are powerful. You can make an impact in your community. It's local or federal. And I think I just want more of that because I feel like we're just in this, I don't know, a little generation of decline in good politicians and good help and serving community. So if anything, join me in it.
I really like that. Let's talk about that for a minute. We'll go there because I think this is so interesting.
Yeah.
How did you find your way from team mom into running for
anything.
Congress, local,
yeah,
woman. Congress. Are you running for Congress?
I will, but it's a step. I'm stepping up the ladder, right? Because I want to prove myself in every capacity. And I want everyone to know from the, you know, the secretary at the front desk to like, you know, presidential, like I'm there.
So what are you running for right now?
Right now it's local city council seat in Austin, Texas, the capital
local
of Texas.
City council seat. So how did you find yourself
so like
going
you're
from
a counselor, right? Or they call them counselor or councilman.
So I'm gonna re-ask it. How did you find yourself going from team mom to local city
counselor? Yes, I would say I had 3 brick and mortar businesses in Austin, Texas.
Right.
I ended up coming back to Texas. I sat around, I saw the community complaints, which is, hey, I want to make housing affordable. I know how to fix it. I know how to do it. Let me get on in there and I'll totally transform the whole city so everyone can own a piece of it. I've been a business owner, brick and mortar. I know what they need help doing. I know what the drug scene is. I know how to help them. I was in a 12-step trauma center. So I think just, you know, complaints to me seem so little because I've done it and I've been successful in my own life and my world. So you got to give back to community. So yeah, I found myself coming back because I know I can do the job.
I love that. Yeah. So you felt calling.
Yeah. So it's not like, hey, let's go be a superstar.
No.
Let's remember to come back and serve and give back. And I would do that for Iowa, where I was born and raised. I would do that for any city that gives back to me. And Austin has given to me so much, so many millions, so much opportunity and so much greatness that I can't, you know, keep seeing all my friends moving out of the city because they can't afford it when I know how to make a change. And, you know, who's in that District 5 seat right now is an attorney and he's not helping anyone. So I don't know what to say. I can probably do 10 times the work in 1 month than they've done in 2 years.
What do you want to do? What would be the difference that Abraham would make?
So I have 6 pillar programs or pilot programs that I would love to start doing. One was the Brighter Futures Initiative, which was for anyone who is planning. I call it family planning. So all sorts of contraception for men and women at any age that they can procreate. Egg banks, sperm banks, making it affordable, capped at a price point, because everyone's planning their families in Austin. And I just want to make it super affordable. So that way you guys could go up bright families, brighter futures. The other one was the housing program. I learned that if we're only using bank statements for rentals, you need to start using bank statement loan inclusions for housing properties. So that way your 1099 workers are equal as your W-2 workers. And that fixes the housing crisis in total. You can't look at anyone who's a 1099 worker and give them jumbo loan percentage prices on homes at closing. So like those zero down programs are for only W-2 workers and not 1099 workers. So I basically reconstructed this, broke it apart. You need to stop all laws of housing and buying from 2008, and you need to turn it into a 2026 new law. But I can do pilot programs and I can start doing new laws. I also wanted to do a veterans bridge so that my dad's a veteran. If anyone didn't know, shout out to Michael Abraham from Teen Mom. He always has to wait to get the help he needs. It won't be included in the veterans, the VCA, and the hospitals out there. So the bridge, they just get to go to any doctor they want. And it's almost like gap coverage. So that's what I love about the veterans.
Lots of stuff. That's the top 3
or 4.
You're a very caring person. Like just off the small amount of time that I've known you, I really feel that. Like I can read souls like that. People come to me and like coach them. You actually give a shit. You actually care. You actually would do really good in this role.
Thank
like,
you.
I am totally behind you.
I see it beginning to end.
And I'm so happy that you were doing this. Guys, I'm actually behind this. I'm going to put her link below. Yes. This is where you can like get behind it. No, I'm unapologetic as fuck.
Yeah.
That's why people love me as a friend. And I think you actually care. I think you've lived multiple lifetimes in your life.
Yeah.
As have I. But you've had the child so young. You started businesses young. Mm-hmm. You've done all these things you've spoken about in business and making money to survive and then thrive. And now you're going back to give to the people at such a young age. When you're, I don't know if you speak about your age publicly.
34.
You're super young. You're like in your early 30s.
It feels like I'm in my 50s.
Right. But you have an energy of an older soul, but you look young. So it's
God bless.
Right.
Hopefully I'll meet a man and I'll have another baby one day.
There we go. Amen. Oh my God. Okay. So something you said earlier is I recreated me.
Yes.
So that's what scripting is. That's what, when we go back to the drawing board, we realize life is a movie.
Yeah.
You choose your character and you write your script.
And I do that in real life. I really write scripts. I am a screenwriter.
What?
Yes.
Girl, is there anything you don't do? Love that.
So I did sell my first movie, but we will talk about that another time.
So how do you recreate Farah? How do you go back to the drawing board and redesign a version of you?
And I have. So this is how I did it. It's called Sid. I think it's called Sid Freed Structure. So I would look that up, S-Y-D, field structure. And that is how you create your scripts, the human, the arcs, the depth of the person. I also believe in recording yourself. So every time that anyone watched 16 and Pregnant, Teen Mom, I was watching with you. And I could see myself and how I wanted to change myself. Most of the teen moms who were on my cast didn't even watch the show. They repeated mistakes that I did. And I just was tired of repeating, how can I create a better Farah? Who is the best Farah that I can be? And I would kind of write that down. I would talk. I often had recordings. Mm-hmm. So that's really how I got to it and how we're doing something right now of a feature film about my life.
Wow.
And so we're recording a lot, even though I wrote a whole script, but let's just redo it again. And that's script writing. You redo it 100 times. You drive yourself insane, but you come out with movie magic.
Well, it's like when you want to become a version of you, you practice, practice, practice. Till it becomes your, my latest best-selling book is a big Wall Street Journal and USA Today bestseller. Yes. Amen. Be it till you become it.
Yes.
And it's about becoming the version of you before you get there.
Yes.
And I go on stage to thousands and talk about this. You become her, yes, or him today.
Yes.
You don't wait until you're a multimillionaire to be a multimillionaire.
No.
You become them today.
Yes.
Before you became the super successful version, yes, of you, you weren't slumming around going, damn, I wish I was there. You became her. You started dressing like her. I'm sure you started putting on the makeup like her. You started showing up like her. Your voice started to be like her. So we become the version of us before we get there. And always, that is how we become.
Yes. That is always how it is. And it's happening this year and every other year.
Yes, I love it, Queen. You're redesigning who you are.
I never stop. And I hope nobody else ever stops doing it too for themselves.
If people knew what you'd survived, what would shock them the most?
Often when I dabbled in some comedy last year, I had a lot of feedback from comedians who acted like I never was homeless. I never went through a hard time in my life. And I just want to say, I think, and my daughter, she's very interested in this as well at her age, because she's the age of which I got pregnant with her. She can't even believe what I went through. And I think your own family turning against you, being abusive to you, kicking you out of the house, making you homeless with a newborn child.
Oh my God.
And then also CPS being involved and their babysitters doing bad things to children. I think like that is the hard, like when you kick me when I'm down, I think that is the hardest thing. So that's also what we are bringing to this movie and this film about me. And my daughter really does wonder about that.
Gosh, that's wild. So your daughter's like at the age you were when you had her. So she right now must be like in that real tender stage.
She is so understanding, but she so doesn't understand how dark and how hard it was for me. And I think like losing her father, she probably can't even process that loss.
Wait, he's not here.
No. And so I lost him. Yeah. So I lost him when I was pregnant with her.
Wait, he died
in a car accident.
I am so sorry.
Yeah. With two of our other friends from high school.
Oh my God.
I was I was stuck in a lot of grief. I was very suicidal.
Whilst the baby was about to come out at 16.
Yeah. So I think when you think of all of those dynamics being hit, like there's no winning. And I used to say this at my darkest times. I was like, I don't understand what I deserve. Like, I don't know what I did to deserve this darkness. And I think like that's actually like what kept me very close to God. And I always was just trying to do the right thing and try to be so good and try to be so perfect, trying to fix all this horrible stuff that kept happening. Like losing the love of your life is not light. Losing any love, like even when I lose a dog, it is detrimental to me. So I am very loving. And I think love kind of overcomes grief and darkness and suicide. And I chose to not commit suicide because I love my daughter. And I said, if I'm going to be alive, I'm going to live this life as great as I can. Like my parents will not overtake my role as a parent. And yeah, so grandparents everywhere, and my daughter still chooses to hang out with me, but my daughter does not know the depth of what I went through at her age.
Gosh, I mean, it's
so that's, I think hopefully we can show that in a film.
I hope
recreating that Farah, the one who is struggling with a million things and perseveres and is like my hero, that Farah is hard to create in a script again when you're doing so well. And I think, I mean, I love that I'm doing so well, but I also am like, why is it so hard to get to the hardship that I went through? Because, right, you know, trauma and blocking it and protecting yourself, you kind of got to disarm yourself to get there.
Gosh, no, you do. But love also is the cure. And as you said really beautifully just now, I mean, you really fight darkness with love.
Yes.
Love is the solution. Love is the way that we overcome things. Love is the way that we, excuse me, love is the way that we commit to something great. And we say, I'm going to choose this over something heavier.
Yeah.
And you've chosen that every time. Yeah. What's your heritage, by the way? Where are you from?
My heritage. I am Syrian on my dad's side.
I knew we had things in common. I'm part Lebanese.
Oh my God. I love Lebanese. Yes. A lot of Lebanese.
That's what your surname is. Around. I love it.
Yes. So Farah Abraham. And then my mom is like Scandinavian, so Danish. I have family in Denmark. Everyone's pretty much blonde, green eyes, blue eyes, light. My sister is the rest of my family. So it's
same.
Like, yeah. So you just got Middle Eastern basically and like Scandinavian. And I think that's a lot in Dubai and Middle Eastern countries too. It's just like the blonde wife and the Middle Eastern husband.
Oh yeah, you totally get that.
Yeah.
That's so amazing. That's I always wondered, I was like, because you look like you could be a blend of something real beautiful. That's so nice. Yeah. I love it. Yes. Okay, question. Okay. Do you think society punishes women more harshly when they refuse to be likable?
Yeah, I think because I didn't want to fit in or be liked by my cast members, I was definitely outcasted. And I think you have to get used to being the outcast very soon, so that way you can actually go have freedom and the life that you dream about, you know, not just what people talk about, go actually live it.
Wow, crazy. What did fame take from you that no amount of money could replace?
What did fame take from me?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Fame doesn't take anything from me. I use fame like a weapon now. I think you got to master your magic and nothing takes anything from you.
I love that. Mastering your magic is a beautiful line. Mm-hmm. Like everybody has a gift. Everybody has a talent, a magic, an art, something inside of them that they are meant to share with the world.
Yes.
And the sooner we wake up to that, the better. An apostle once said to me, he said, when he was praying for me, he said, Natasha, what do you want? What was the calling from God? What was the thing that he placed on your heart? And I said, I want to reach 1 billion people. That's what he told me I was going to do. And he said, and that's why you'll do it, because you're the only person who I've asked out of so many different celebrities and names who's not said, I want to make $1 billion.
Yeah.
You said, I want to impact 1 billion people. And that's why you will make $1 billion.
Yes.
And so ask for the means to do so.
Yes.
So I feel like this with you as well. You are so in tune. You're doing well enough that you're at that point where it's like, what can I do for others?
Yeah.
You know, and I can see that with you. You're very selfless.
Yeah.
You're very selfless. It's beautiful to see. Okay, tell me a story that your family would tell about you. Something funny.
Oh, God. I don't know. There's so many stories. Do you want a funny one?
Yeah, give me one.
A crazy one?
Anything crazy, funny, something that your kid, your family would all do.
Okay, so you want to hear a story about... I don't know. So you want me to tell a story about my family right now?
Oh, that they would tell about you.
Oh, shit. I don't like to tell a story about myself.
No, it's funny. It's great. Like, you know... When I was young, okay, I won. When I was young, I like hit. Okay, come on, she's got one. She's laughing. Here we go.
I don't think I know. Like,
okay, I'll tell you one of mine. Once my family so my mom used to collect Vogue magazines, and I cut off all. She had a pile of them, and I'm talking these would be vintage now. They would be like fucking 30 years old, okay? And they were already old when I was cutting them up, so they'd be like something nuts old, and I cut off the Vogue on every single magazine, the title, and stuck it on a wall. My mom came back and was like, you're kidding. I've been saving these for years and you just took the Vogue off every single thing. She was so angry at me, understandably. So I ran away, but I didn't run from my house. I ran, my home was big at the time. And I ran to my sister's bedroom in the attic and hid under the bed. They called the police because they couldn't find me.
I did that for my daughter.
Whole family. That shit's fucking crazy.
Yeah.
Don't do that, kids. I told like that. I can't believe I did that. So my whole family was like, are you kidding? You ran away like that. But it, in retrospect, now being an adult, I'm like, I can't believe I did that. I put my family through like pain. So I realized to do it.
That's good. I just don't think that, I don't know what I got out of the story, but I do have a time where my dad called the police on me, and he actually knew where I was and purposely was calling the police to get me in trouble. I just kind of grew up in a such a fucked up situation where, yeah, I don't know if my family ever said, oh my God, you're creating so much hardship on the family. I think my family more so, I was like the ping pong, and they would make my life very hard. And I just didn't want that for my daughter. So like me and my daughter travel together. We go out together. She doesn't lie to me. She doesn't run around. She doesn't have secrets. It's just a whole different world. And I think that's really more cooler than like a story that my parents would tell about me. I'm really just kind of done with stories from my parents about me. Sorry to say.
Okay. I actually fucking love that. She's like, I'm fucking over it. And that's why I actually think we choose our parents before we come into this lifetime as to either be like them or what not to do like them. And there are so many things I adore about my family.
Oh yeah.
But like, I'm really the first multi-millionaire in my family. Like it's a first generational thing right here. And I'm here and I'm like, you know what? I am doing something different from y'all because I would never ask.
I love hearing y'all. Austin, I'm a British. Texas in the house. Y'all.
I'm British and I say y'all. Like I would never ask a carpenter how to cut hair.
No.
I would never ask a person who has no fucking idea about business because they clean fish tanks all day, and that's a great job if you like fish. But I would never ask the fish tank person to how to run a multi-level coaching business. No. Like that is not the right person to ask. Ask the right people.
Yeah, you know what I love to do? I like to just ask anyone and everyone, especially retired people. I love to ask them, how can I make more money at something? And then they say it's impossible. I don't know. I'm not doing that. Da 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 da. Oh, maybe I'll look into that when I grow up.
Crazy.
There's a million and one excuses. But I do enjoy a good old waste of time. It's like a luxury. It's a luxury to actually influence people, inspire them, and say, you want to dull my shine. And this is in my family. My family still to this day loves to dull my shine. Some of them will not even walk into a grocery store with me because they are so uncomfortable because of the person who I've become. And I think for you to be able to go back and you visit the place that you were raised, whether it was good, abusive, da 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 da, you let all that hate go because love was bigger. Mm. God is winning. Mm. You can drag them with you and simply like smile and rejoice that you've come to such a good place that you can still go back to that and they can still try to shut that shine down and you're going to go shopping anyways. I think that maybe you were born in a family so that you could actually show them the way to be closer to Jesus, so you can show them the way to actually connect and see themselves, to actually know that they are a star, to actually let them know that they deserve better. And I think everything that I fight for and everything that I do for community, I know that my family sees it. And I just know like they need to know that I want them to feel the best that they could ever feel. Like recently this year, I submitted my dad for like a veterans program to help surprise them and even like redo their house, even though I don't know if it's going to be done or not. And they were all super excited and it was like a go, it seems. But I just know like they didn't take the time to do it for themselves, but they keep seeing me do like investments in real estate and all this stuff, but no, like they're not launching their own rockets. So yes, is it a waste of time? Maybe it is, but for some reason, it feels fucking good to give a little back sometimes to the family that just puts duct tape over your mouth. You know what I'm saying? It feels good to find your voice.
Oh, finding your voice is so important. And never dimming the light that shines from within. Yes. Never allowing somebody to duct tape it. Put sunglasses on, bitch, if my light is too bright, okay?
Literally. And it is funny when we do go out and some of the family, it's like, oh no, you can just go in the store. Because they don't know what to do with the attention. And I think if you ever are around a friend or a family member that commands attention, and you're uncomfortable with that, sit and ask yourself, why am I uncomfortable with it? Do I feel shame? Do I feel like a letdown to myself? What do I want to improve? why am I hiding? Ask yourself why you're hiding.
You're never meant to be hidden.
Yeah.
And if you do feel it, then that is the biggest trait against yourself, that there is an issue. You are meant to shine and be seen and heard. Do you know the biggest thing that a human desires as a human is to be seen and heard.
And as a mom, I show that to my daughter because I did not get that growing up. Mm. And maybe that's why I went on a TV show. And maybe that's why I signed up for more abuse and manipulation. So that's something to learn.
Wow. What chapter of your life are people not ready for yet?
People are clearly not ready for city council. They're scared right now. I got people, men calling me, lying to me about my own address, saying they know where I live when they don't. Anything to get me out of the running. So I have to say, nobody is ready for city council Farah. Nobody is ready for mayor Farah. And no one's ready for congresswoman Farah. But I am. So get ready.
Boom! Mic drop. We fucking love this. What's a quote that you live by that you absolutely love?
I don't know. I'm so bad with remembering things. I recently posted a quote for some reason, and it happens to be by Oprah. I'm not like condoning anything of like other people and like what they say, but I loved this one. And it was like, I became a brand because I became a brand out of truth. And I think like everything that I've done has seriously been out of truth. The unpopular thought, even in court, even in my family. And I think you really need to stay with your truth. Like to the extent of, I got a lie detector test. I was 99.999% telling the truth. And everybody wanted to make me out a liar, but my truth won. And every time in court and any battle that I do, which are often. So I think you are who you are because of your truth.
The truth will always prevail.
And don't ever believe false truths. I think a lot of people can also swindle their lies to be truth, but truly, truly see your truth. And that is very hard to do for a lot of people.
Beautiful. You're so inspirational, Farah. I have absolutely loved having you on the show.
Thank you.
Are so fun. You've got so much to talk about. I'm so excited. I'm going to put all your links below. Not that anyone needs it, but in case y'all are not following Farah, you can go and find her now. And if you want to learn more about how you can support her journey into the local council, which I think is going to be so important for
people to vote in Austin,
right?
Yes, register to vote anywhere you are. Support local, your local and federal and, you know, national Congress, but support however you can, because I know a lot of people are just like, I don't vote. I'm not going to update my registration. So go out there and update your stuff. Take part.
We love it. Thank you so much for coming today. We love you.
You're
guys.
The best. Thank you, Natasha.
Thank you, beautiful girl. We'll see you again next week for another amazing round of the Law of Attraction Secrets podcast. I'm your host, Natasha Graziano. It's been an amazing day with Farah Abraham. If you've enjoyed this, share your favorite clip with a friend. There'll be something online on my Instagram that might get your ears and your eyes going. Like, that is the one. Go send it out. Tag your favorite friend. Send it to them and inspire somebody else today. I'll see you soon.